Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of In The Post. I'm Alan, on my left.
Hi, it's Sam.
On my right.
It's me, Joe.
Right, let's crack onto it because stuff happened. LaMarcus Aldridge and David West going to the Spurs.
They've won it. They've won free agency. Dallas done well. New York done all right.
They done well. We'll go to that.
But no, Spurs have won free agency by signing LaMarcus Aldridge and convincing David West to opt out of $12 million guaranteed to go for a vet min of
$1.2 million. $1.5 million.
But it says a lot about the organisation, RC Buford, Popovich, and the team that have convinced David West to take that role, to step out of a comfortable zone that he has in Indiana to take a much smaller contract in San Antonio.
Well, they get, like the Spurs, they get people to the pay to play for them, essentially. Like, so many players take cuts to play for them. It's ridiculous. It's not fair!
But I think David West has sort of come into this and it sort of shocks you, really, that your starting five is Tony Parker, it's Danny Green, Kawhi, LaMarcus and Tim Duncan, and then coming off your bench is Boris Diaw, David West, Patty Mills and Manu Ginobili. That's not a bad second string unit.
I think that second string unit could get in the playoffs in the East.
Yep, absolutely.
Manu's still a bit meh, but I think he could easily do it in the East.
Yeah, pretty much the same. But I think they're good, but their backcourt, especially Parker last season, I don't think it's that good. I think they could still do with a bit. I think Patty Mills is probably the better point guard at the moment, really.
Well, I think, what I said in the previous podcast, I think Aldridge will actually bring a lot out of Tony Parker.
Yeah.
And Parker didn't play that many minutes last year, so he has time to get healthy and sort himself out, if injuries were the issue. Do they have the best squad in the league?
I don't know. The thing is, because you've still got Age, Ginobili, and Duncan. So, I mean, Duncan's usually a sure bet, but still he's getting older. I mean, it's not guaranteed every year, but it seems to be the past few years. And Ginobili,
I don't think Ginobili's been there past 2 years.
So I'd probably still give it to the Warriors, because of how well they did play in the finals, especially when Klay Thompson wasn't playing well. The rest of the team was stepping up and playing.
Yeah, I think with Golden State, throughout the whole year they were dominating, and I said the only thing that can stop them from winning the championship is complacency, because they haven't done it before. They might get a bit too cocky in the playoffs, and complacency might hurt them. I think it might have took a couple of games off them throughout the course of the season, but barely any. But now they've won a championship, will they have that second season syndrome where they're just not as motivated and not as hungry? That could be their downfall to a team like the Spurs, who every time they do lose, the next year they are phenomenally good. Now they've got Aldridge, who's also hungry.
Yeah, well, with the San Antonio Spurs, I've personally picked them, which we'll talk about at a later date. I've picked them between 1 to 3 seeds at the moment, because I'm still convinced with the OKC starting five that Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, they'll be back.
They'll be back healthy. Golden State, yeah, it'll be an issue with complacency, but they're still a great team. And obviously San Antonio, starting five, yeah, they're old, but they are.
They know how to get it done.
They're brilliant.
Spurs still won't be the one seed, I think, just only due to resting. Do you think Aldridge, is there any chance Aldridge might actually not work out at the Spurs? Because he is a bit of a volume shooter. Some people have accused him of being a big man version of Iverson, where he just takes a lot of shots and sometimes takes it away from the team. Now that's anti-Spurs.
No, I think the reason why he's come to San Antonio, because he's bought into a new system. Him and Tony Parker's going to work effectively well with the pick and pop. Tim Duncan is obviously classified as a power forward, but playing as a centre for most of his career.
Yeah, he'll play centre the next year.
I think LaMarcus has bought into a system where he knows he's not going to be the main system of offence. He's probably going to be the first or second go-to guy before or after Kawhi. But I think that he's bought into the scheme that Popovich has sort of set out to him to say, look, team comes first, and I think he's going to realise that if he wants to get the championship, which he's been waiting for his whole career, he's got to buy into a new way.
Well, do you think, you said he might be the second string behind Kawhi. LaMarcus's offence is a lot more regarded than Kawhi's.
Kawhi's still got a long way to go, though. It's his fourth year into his career now.
You would think they'd try and use him more in the regular season to get him ready for the playoffs offensively?
I think
they know what LaMarcus can do.
I think during the regular season, Kawhi might be your main focus point. They'll probably try new schemes to get Kawhi more involved, because on the defensive end, he's a great on-ball defender, defensive player of the year. But obviously, his offense isn't as polished as his defense, so they might sort of have an experiment this year. Obviously, you were talking about resting players. It might be a case of playing Kawhi Leonard more focally on the offense to develop him further.
It's going to be a bit... I think Kawhi's offense has taken off a little bit, but it's still not...
It's improved.
Yeah, it's not the finished article yet, so you definitely need to do it. Anything you want to add to LaMarcus's game, or how David West is going to fit into all of that?
Just about what you said about Aldridge being a volume shooter, I don't think that's going to happen at the Spurs, because like Sam was saying, he's bought into that new system and it's all about team play. And the fact that it is team play, he won't get a lot of the ball. Even if it's four passes are made, that could be to Kawhi, it could be to Danny Green, it could be to Parker, and then it could be Garrett back around again, and then it's someone else taking the shot. And where he's not bringing the ball up, obviously, because he's a power forward, he will only get his shots when he gets the ball in the post or from the mid-range. So,
well, I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, I'll buy into the Spurs and looking into success, but then maybe when the game's happening and you used to get the ball constantly and then all of a sudden it's not happening. I think as long as they're winning, it's not a big deal. That's why David Lee didn't mind coming off the bench the whole year, because they were winning constantly.
But I think as well, he's still going to get his 20 points a game.
Yeah, I think Pop will say. Yeah.
As soon as he gets them 20, I mean, he's going to probably shoot more efficiently in the Spurs as well, because he's not going to be that main person. Like you was saying, Kawhi is going to be their main focus point in the season, because they know that he is one of the two, well, they're going to take him forward over the next five seasons, really. Or five, six seasons.
I wouldn't mind pushing Danny Green's offense a bit more, give him a few more looks.
Danny Green's
trying to develop his driving a little bit more.
Yeah, he's getting to the basket isn't fantastic, but obviously his three-point shooting ability is incredible. But the one thing I do want to touch on is David West, how important he was to the Pacers. The reason why he took that veteran minimum was because he felt that Larry Bird threw Roy Hibbert under the bus.
Yeah.
Because he's always been a loyal person, he's always been a team player, and he's always bigged up for people that he's surrounding cast. So when he said, when Roy Hibbert was told by Larry Bird that he's not going to be playing as much, he felt that it was a knock on Roy Hibbert. So he thought, oh, why would I want to play for an organisation that won't do this?
Yeah, now, like, Hibbert was one of Larry Bird's guys, and Larry Bird always tried to push him and get him as good as possible, same like players like Paul George. And I think he's loyal, but at the end of the day, he's a born winner, Larry Bird. He has to win, and I think he will do as much as he possibly can unless, you know, nothing can be done. And literally, I think you have to do a lot for Bird to give up on you. Maybe it's an attitude thing. So we don't know the full story, but I can understand David West's reason for leaving, giving up a lot of money. He's got my respect for that. I don't think he's going to play many minutes at all. I think he might...
He won't be garbage. He'll play 10, 12 minutes.
He won't be garbage, but I don't... maybe because of Spurs' rotation, he will get a few minutes, but...
He's not going to be like a Tracy McGrady couple of minutes a game. He's going to play a solid 10 to 12.
I think he's going to be in a bit of a coasting mode, though. I think, oh, Spurs have got this super team now.
He's not very complacent. I think he's taken that sacrifice for a reason, because he wants to win, and he knows that he's got to perform like he did at Indiana to keep Spurs... Not that the San Antonio's relying purely on David West, but obviously running a second-string offence with a leader that David West was at Indiana's starting lineup, I think he's going to basically take it on himself to lead that second string unit.
Pop definitely doesn't accept complacency as well. He'll always kick them up the bum.
I think he will get a lot of minutes as well, because where Duncan is going to be playing centre, your backup power forward's going to be West, and DL's going to be the backup
power forward.
Well, I think they could possibly use LaMarcus as a centre now, and have David West as a power forward, but defensively that might not be the best option, because Duncan's going to play even less minutes probably this season. Yeah.
But again, with the league going small ball, Joe's probably right with David West playing the five, Boris playing the four.
And Dale can hit that three. Do you think it's a three horse race next year? I know it's early days, but I think it could be. I think there's, you could say a few other teams, but I think it really is a three horse race at the end of the day, if you're going to put it down to it.
No, I'd put it down to five or six teams in my mind.
Five teams. Well, I've got the Cavs, Warriors and Spurs. Who's the other three teams for you?
Cavs, Warriors, Spurs, Golden... did you say, sorry, Cavs, Golden State, Spurs, Oklahoma, LA if they figure out their big man, and...
What, Houston?
Houston could be something.
I'm not too sure about that, personally. I think them other three teams are just a little bit better than all of them.
I don't know, with San Antonio, they've always had trouble with Oklahoma, and obviously the season they won... They struggled.
I don't think OKC has the depth, especially if they get another injury, which seemed all their best players have been getting.
Well, we've got to look forward to seeing what the new coach brings to Oklahoma.
That's another thing.
Because, as I was saying, when the Spurs won the league and won the title, it wasn't Serge Ibaka was injured throughout, I think it was the whole series, or he played one or two games. So he never played a fully strong Oklahoma unit, and when they did, they lost to him.
I don't know. I think OKC have a worse team now than what they did before, especially after coming off an injury, all these injuries and things. The Rockets again, they're gonna lose players like Josh Smith and a few role players here and there. They might be good next season, but I think they kept Corey Brewer, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not too sure, to be honest, about them. And what about you? Three horse race?
No chance.
No chance.
No, you can't say that. Clippers. Nah, not really at the moment, with no centre and a few other players. But I've written down in notes that Golden State were not considered one of the favourites before the season. New coach, rookie coach, and I think their team wasn't thought to be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Amazing season. One of the best seasons of all time. And they went on to win it all. So I think they could have, even with a team like the Bulls, new coach... A couple more players in, a Butler that's older and more wiser. Rose is maybe letting Butler take over the reins a bit more.
That's fair enough. I can see that. It's a good argument. But that's only like the 1 year. Okay, it's the most recent year. But then the year before, everyone knew it was either going to be Spurs or Heat. The year before that, everyone just thought the Heat.
Because you had a series where it was 4-3... Heat Pacers. Pacers could have easily won one of them. OKC, fair enough, they didn't play very well in the finals against the Heat. They could have won that. But I think their team was a bit too young. There's no way that you can say this team's going to win at the moment.
This team
is going to make the final. I think the Spurs is a guaranteed playoff, but I wouldn't go, oh, they're going to make the final.
Yeah.
I think we might get a few surprise teams. I'm not saying that, but I think... Personally, I think it's going to be three horse race.
Well, you say three horse race, you shouldn't say that. You should say the three best teams, which there are. The three best teams is going to be Golden State, Spurs, and the Cavs.
Well, the best thing about the NBA is like the playoffs. If a really good team gets a dodgy matchup, like you were saying, the Spurs don't like playing OKC. So anything could happen.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on from the Spurs, we'll go to that other Western Conference team that have done quite well in the past. The Lakers. Now... they finally started to sign people, and once one person came, they started to get quite a few others. The two notable ones was Lou Williams and Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert's going to go back. He's going to average 25 and 20. I'm putting money on it right now.
You're the real MVP.
Lou Williams, Kobe.
He's going to get some Bill Russell numbers, is he?
He's going to get Bill Russell numbers, okay. Because he's on a team of chuckers. He's on a team of volume shooters. Put him under the basket. 25 rebounds. Putting money on it.
Hibbert has to... Actually, that's a good point. Hibbert's rebounds must improve this year.
It's gonna.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get putbacks, but then... Yeah, I think his stats will actually go up. So, Jordan Hill's stats were respectable at the Lakers as well, actually. And that's when Kobe was injured most of the time.
Yeah, but he still had chuckers in... Who did you have? Nick Young.
Well, now they've got, like, D'Angelo Russell. Right, obviously.
It was the highest in college.
Kobe, he takes more contested jump shots than the rest of the NBA combined. Swaggy P, it's called Swaggy P, obviously he's going to be taking them. And Lou Williams, who that's all he is. They're not going to work together, surely.
They're not going to work together, but they're going to be a team to watch.
Do you think they'll just take turns having goes?
Well, you take 20 shots today, I'll take 20 shots
tomorrow. Well, to be fair, like, even LeBron's admitted when he went with Wade, like, they did take go, they were saying Wade will have a chance and LeBron will have a chance. Will they do that? I don't think they will. I think it's a bit of a mess.
They won't do it, but they won't do it. They'll unintentionally do it.
Okay. Do it. Do it.
Alright.
They're not building a, like... I mean...
They keep it... The one thing they're doing is they're keeping that cap space low. They're hitting the cap floor. Yeah. So obviously next season when Durant comes into free agency...
But again, if they're in the lottery, no big free agents are going to join them. Okay, they might get a good lottery pick, but if they're going to be bottom of the West again, and they know how hard the West is, free agents aren't going to join this. That's why no one joined there or even considered them last year. I mean, this year rather. Aldridge might have given them a second interview, but he really wasn't ever going to go there. Sorry, Laker fans, but you need D'Angelo Russell to become a superstar before you'll be able to attract these players back again.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good if this season he plays well, and even if they still are a lottery team, that could show potential. That could be a point for players to show interest in going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Would be if he plays well this season.
Maybe gets Rookie of the Year, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know we haven't seen much of D'Angelo Russell, but what do you think his stat line is going to be this year?
I reckon I'll probably say 16, 4 and 6.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Maybe a bit less points, maybe not 14 or something.
Well, I was thinking 15 points. I was thinking 15-7 because I think he's going to be part of a lot of these volume shooters.
7 rebounds?
No, 7 assists.
7 blocks.
I think he's only going to... he won't get many rebounds. I think he's going to get like 7 assists just because he's going to be part of all these people and a lot of these shots are eventually going to go in. So that's going to be Rookie of the Year stat line around the corner mark. There's a chance, unless Okafor just tears up.
Or unless Timberwolves do well, sneaking an 8th seed and Towns' impressive numbers.
But, the success of the team might help the Towns, but I think his stat line at his college team, that didn't really like shine.
So it didn't stand out, but again, he had a lot of talent.
So that's what I think. I think it might get shared about a bit more in that team as well. So I think it's going to be out for Russell. But we do that in our season preview. You want to talk about New York? New York City!
Yeah.
The team building. They've signed players that I would say is actually kind of...
Below average.
I would say they're average NBA players, but at least they kind of have... Some are quite good at defense. Some are quite good at rebound. Yeah, an actual team as opposed to the shooters.
Well, yeah, I like New York. The East is... pretty darn bad anyway, as it is. So I think that's what they've got to do, is get a decent team together, maybe try and hope for the best to get KD next season. But I like just the fact they're actually showing a bit of steps. Not they've sort of done the opposite of the Lakers, and the Lakers just gone, here you go, we need this, come here. New York actually seems to be trying to build a team.
Yeah, they're doing it very... I think they're doing it smarter than the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, and if Melo stays healthy... plays well, they could make the playoffs, which again I said will attract free agents maybe next year. Maybe not KD, maybe try and keep Anthony, maybe go for like Al Horford or something like that. I think
Al Horford, that's a good shout. I like that. I think New York won't make the playoffs again, but they will be on the fringe like a lot of teams were last year. I think the Celtics, they're going to have a chance. The Pacers will be a lot better now.
Yeah,
I think there's and the Bucks are going to be a lot better. I think the East will improve this year. And I think that's going to make New York slightly suffer. Maybe if New York had this team last year, they would have had a chance. But I think they're going to just miss out this year.
I think New York's probably going to be a 10th prediction, if it was. I predict it's probably a 10th seed. I think the East has improved. I think Atlanta's still going to stay. They won't top as what they did last season, but they'll still be good. Cleveland's going to be good.
Orlando.
Orlando's going to be good. Chicago's probably going to have a good season under a new coach.
The
Bucks are going to be good. Miami.
Miami are going to be back there. Now so they've got...
Then obviously you've got your fringe team. So you've got probably Boston, Charlotte, New York.
I don't think Charlotte will make it either.
I don't think Charlotte will make it. But again, they've got a team that's developing. Like obviously with the signing of Nick Batum, it might do something for them. So it could be a fringe team or they could absolutely suck it up.
Yeah. I mean, they brought in Rolo. which I think we predicted at the, in our free agency special. I think that's okay. I think he can do a job there. And they've got a Flolo, which gives them a second option in offence. They've still got Calderon, so they've got a three-point shooter, and Derek Williams. So,
Derek Williams. I mean, was he number two or number one?
Number two.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the ones. I still think he could actually show what he could do. You know, and if it's working...
That's the thing I was going to say. What I've heard, it's not a question of talent. It's just he got that nice number two draftee contract, and apparently he was ready to coast in the league. Now, I don't know how much truth that is if you're watching Derek, but it's what I've heard. It's what I've heard. Prove me wrong. Get 25 and 20 to compete with Hibbert's numbers, and then we've got something to talk about.
He's going to have an interview after a game, and he's going to be like, this is run from in the post.
Yeah.
30 and 30 game.
Well, that's good about the 8th seeds, actually, or like them fringe playoff teams, because the Pacers, they missed out last year, didn't they? They did miss out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Now they've got to get in the playoffs next year, because now they've got my boy, Monte Ellis have it all.
Monte Ellis have it all.
I forgot about the Pacers, didn't I?
Now that trio, they've lost Hibbert, so they're lacking in bigs. What can they do? Would the trio work?
The trio would work, so it gives George Hill a break, because he's good off the ball movement. Monte is predominantly a good ball brilliant ball handler. And Paul George, brilliant on offence, brilliant on defence, so he can run both ways. Pacers really need to probably re-sign Louis Scola.
Yeah.
That would be my priority next.
Yeah, he's got that little mid-range jumper. I think...
I did put David Lee down on my notes earlier for Pacers to actually try and get David Lee, but that's not happening now.
Yeah, that would have been ideal, but obviously he's gone to the Celtics. We'll talk about that in a second. Pacers, what can they do for bigs? Will the trio work?
Throughout the whole season, they're going to need a big... Especially when you come against teams like... San Antonio, say, with a good bit of bigs. You're going to be able to battle them. So I think if they try and trade one of their picks, maybe, from next year. I mean, I wrote down Taj Gibson, but I probably wouldn't see that happening. But Stoudemire, that could be a player they could go for.
I like that, and they can do a... that would be strange, but... Because Ellis is already going there, so they could maybe work out a sign and trade, give us a pick for Ellis and... A first-round pick for Ellis and Amari. Or something. I'd like to keep Amari, actually. I thought he was fantastic when he joined the Mavs. Do you think that might be a little bit too offensive? Ellis, George and Amari all together, although George is doubly as defensive as he is offensive.
I wouldn't say he's offensive. I wouldn't say he's a liability on defence. I'd say he's more defence,
I think Amari could be a good bet, actually. They definitely do need bigs. I think small forward, point guard and shooting guard, that's going to work so well together. It's going to be really exciting. I think Larry Bird's done well to bring him on to Ellis.
But the thing with that is, who's going to take all the shots? Is there enough balls to go around in that team? George Hill puts up a lot of shots. Paul George likes his shots.
George Hill's
Monte loves his shots.
George Hill won't shoot. He let Lance and Paul George take his shots beforehand. George Hill just does what he wants to do for the team. He's good. When he came back after injury, the Pacers fans, all they said...
Was George Hill was brilliant.
He drove them, you know, for that playoff push.
But even the same with... The only thing I'm saying is George Hill likes his shots. Monte loves the ball in his hands.
Definitely.
And obviously when Rondo came, it sort of took a lot of touches away from Ellis, which I'm not saying that's the main reason Dallas... plummeted.
And Rondo was the reason that Dallas plummeted, not anything else.
And Paul George loves to put up shots.
Yeah.
So is there enough balls to go around in that court?
I don't know. I think even when Paul George came back from injury, I think he shares a ball. I think they're going to be fine, actually. But you did mention that one of the bigs, David Lee, went to the Celtics. Now, I've been saying to you, Sam, because you're obviously a Celtic fan, that you've got all these defensive guards. So it would be good if you had an offensive centre. To balance it out. Now, when I build teams, I always like to think of the centre to be the defensive player, but in your case, I would really look for an offensive big man. Now, David Lee is a good offensive power forward who isn't a liability on defence.
He's an average defender. He's good on offence, so he's good from mid-range too.
He's got them hands.
Close to the basket, good from mid-range. Lets people go under him on defence, so not great, but obviously you've got Amir Johnson possibly going to be playing at the five. to sort of compliment that, because Amir Johnson, when healthy, he's a great player at five. Yeah. So it's a good signing for Boston to give that sort of, not leadership per se, but obviously he's the same sort of height as Jared Sullinger.
He's
same
sort
of
well.
Build. He's been around, so he knows the league, and he can sort of have that.
Four-time All-Star, I believe. Four-time?
Something, I know he's been a few times.
Yeah, I'll check it, then.
Yeah. I really like David Lee there. I mean, like you say, he's so good around the basket. He's not bad on defence, and you're going to get a double-double kind of player, maybe like 15 points, 10 rebounds, you're going to get with him.
I think he's going to get about four assists as well, because if all them, like, the players are like Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley on the arc, he's a selfless player, he'll share the ball. Maybe not four assists, but he'll get a decent amount.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the last player to have a 30-20-10 game.
30-20-10, yeah. Ridiculous. David Lee, all the best players in the 30-20-10. He's 32, and big, do aging dog years. But he didn't play much last year, so maybe he's got a year, he's a year fresher than what usual players are. He's a two-time All-Star, I'm well out.
Yeah.
But he's a 2015 champion.
Yes. You're talking about Big's agent dog years. I mean, he's been the same player since when he was with the Knicks. Same, like Duncan is. He's just the same.
No, that's it.
It's not like athleticism. He's
losing. He's fair game, yeah.
But when I say, Big's agent dog years after 30, I think that's a full saying.
Okay.
But
yeah, he doesn't rely on his athleticism to do well.
Yeah, it's why Tim Duncan's consistently good. Yeah. Like, he plays 28 to 32 minutes a game, but his game isn't to do with athleticism.
He's not slow though, to be fair, David Lee. He can get down the court still.
Fundamentals.
Not like
he can get from the bench to the table quite quick.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, Perkins is 30, and that guy's.
Perkins is my man, silverback.
He's slower than Dirk, man. He's slower than Dirk. Right. Let's go to the West, because this team is going to be a league pass team. It's going to be a basketball streams team.
Ball streams team.
The Sacramento Kings, they've now got Rondo, they've got Rudy Gay, they've got Boogie Cousins, they're trying to get Josh Smith, and they've got George Karl as their coach. Now, if you made like a team just of, let's think of all the players that could possibly get in a massive argument sort of lineup, a lot of them players would be on that list.
It's a soap opera team.
It is a soap opera team.
But it's a team that I want to see.
The Soap Opera Mento Kings. That's a bad joke.
The Californians.
Oh, brilliant.
No, it's a team that I want to watch.
Boogie, why are you home so early? Go on.
Completely lost my trail of thought. No, it's a team that I want to watch because we were discussing this earlier. George Karl at the Nuggets posted respectable records.
Very good.
And it was on a team based on getting the ball up the court as quick as possible with your fast-paced players. Yeah, Rondo does slow possessions down.
That's anti-Rondo.
Yep, it's not great for Rondo, but if they sign Josh Smith, Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins, who wants to play a four, and Willie Cauley Trill Stein, that's his real name, they're going to play a fast-paced game. So I won't be surprised if they're an 8th seed team.
Kings are up. This, like, obviously you're entitled to your opinion, but like,
yeah, I think what I'm saying is that I wouldn't be surprised if they're an AFC team, but then I would be surprised if they're an AFC team.
Yeah.
But I won't see them making it. But yeah.
I think what I was saying to you, when the Kings are good, they're going to be really good if they click. But if they're bad, it's going to be a train wreck.
Oh, Marco Bellinelli.
Oh, they got Marco. I actually like that addition. Of all of
3-point champion, NBA champion.
And he defeated Ivan Drago in Russia and he didn't even get paid for it. So that was always a good result.
And if everyone's arguing, he can always make a pizza.
Scored Harmony. How did you get the Sacramento Kings in the Western Conference Final? Tomato. They loved my tomato base. A little bit racist? I don't know. Right. So
we can edit around that.
Yeah, we'll do that out in the dub. Right, Sacramento Kings, like, what do you think? What's going to happen?
I like the Kings, they're just hilarious, aren't they, really? You know, they're just like, here we go. We'll get some...
Stauskas.
We'll get Rondo, he's a weirdo, and just walks, moans at coaches, and then DeMarcus Cousins is going to kill someone soon. George Karl, definitely going to kill someone soon. I'm looking forward to watching the Kings. They're gonna be.
So I guarantee I'm gonna watch a couple of the games
and enjoy it.
No, maybe
you would enjoy
I'm
it.
I'm definitely gonna enjoy it, not for the right reasons. I'm gonna watch it. Then I'm gonna think, I've had enough of that. Change it. The moment I change it, something glorious is gonna happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Rudy Gay gets on Tomato's cousin's shoulders. Tomato's cousin gets on Rondo's shoulders.
Do you think if they click though, that could be a good team?
If they
figure it out,
they've got quote unquote names.
Yeah, they've got places.
Like, as far as individual players go, if they were all like in their prime playing their best, that looks like a fantastic team.
Yeah.
But again, like what you were saying with the paces, not enough ball to go around. Rondo wants a ball. Gay needs his shots. Josh Smith wants his shots. Boogie wants his shots, but Boogie was fed up with Isaiah Thomas, let alone with them three playing.
Yeah, but they're best mates now. They've always been best mates.
The BFFs.
Okay. Rondo's not going to shoot, is he? So definitely not going to shoot. Well, and he's got all these people to pass to. There you go.
Thanks, Obama. So that's actually a thing that we can blame, though, because apparently Obama knocked his confidence. Didn't
he? Did you read about that?
Oh, it's hilarious.
When Boston won the championship, well, I think it was when they won the championship, they went to see, obviously, the White House inauguration, and Obama went to Ray Allen and was like, oh, why don't you teach Rondo how to shoot?
And apparently Rondo's face has dropped.
Yeah, Ray Allen was like, oh, he just gives me the ball, don't need to worry about that. And he never shot in practice for about a week.
Yeah, apparently the day after he shot really bad and then never shot again. So
it looks like Rondo this season could average 2 points, 7 rebounds and
40 assists. Breaking that Stockton record in one season. Right, let's go on to my team, because I'm itching to talk about them. We're Lob City. We're Lob City now. We've got DJ.
Who's going to chuck the lobs?
Who's going to chuck the lobs?
Jeremy Lin.
Wes Matthews on his wheelchair.
Good morning.
It hasn't happened yet. Like, it looks like we're going to get Jeremy Lin. I think he'll start, but I don't think he'll get the starts in minutes. I think it'll be JJ. As far as lobs go, because I've seen this all over the place. Oh, DJ, he needs
Chris Paul's lobs.
We were second in pick and roll efficiency last. No, we were first in pick and roll efficiency last year and second in alley-oop scoring. Now, that was with Devin, Jameer Nelson and JJ Barea.
It was first.
In alley-oops? Yeah. Oh, Sacramento Kings.
Mm.
No, Clippers, obviously. But, so I think DJ's going to get his alley-oops. That's going to be fine. And we also just got Jeremy Evans, who is just a dunker. So that's going to be good. He's going to be Brandon Wright 2.0. Now, Wes Matthews, I'm not as optimistic as other Mavs fans about this. It's called an Achilles heel for a reason. Is he going to be the shadow of the player what it was? I mean, Dominique came back and did well.
But a lot of other players have retired because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hit and miss, really.
I mean, Casey Smith, when Wes Matthews met the Mavs, Casey Smith, in charge of all of our medical stuff, it works wonders. Apparently, he went through a rehab schedule with Achilles injuries. Apparently, Wes was all for it, and that was a big reason why he wanted to join us. Which, if Casey Smith gives it that injury his blessing, that makes me happy. That's going to be a good team, and we're definitely building for life after Dirk. Because where do you think we're going to be around next year? Because I think we're going to be about a 7th or 8th seed again.
High 7th, lowest not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, Kings obviously going to beat you.
Kings, yeah, you've got to get there.
Yeah, I'd probably say that. West is just too good, isn't it?
It's potentially a good starting five with, who's your starting, to say, Jeremy Lin, Wes Matthews,
if he comes back good, that's going to be important. Chandler Parsons, Dirk, and DeAndre Jordan. I think that's a pretty good team.
So it could be good, but again, it's the worry that DJ wanted to have more offensive touches, and as Joe touched upon in the other episode, he's not great offensively other than
I think
putting back.
Well, he'll probably just get more lobs, and maybe he'll get the ball and then pass it out more or something.
Yeah, but your pick and roll efficiency is mainly Dirk doing it, and then.
Well, he's pick and pop now because he can't roll. Exactly. Can't roll, yeah. So. And Tyson Chandler was really good last year from pick and roll. Yeah. He's a pick and roll queen. Queen? King.
Queen.
King. No, he's going to be a queen.
Now, like, as I say, I think we're going to get the 7th or 8th. I'm not saying that's a bad team because in the West it's very good. But I'm not saying they're going to win the title. They're probably going to get knocked out in the first round. It's one of the first or second seeds. But I think it's going to be a starting block. I'm hoping it'll be a bit like 2 years ago when we took the Spurs to seven. Everyone were like, whoa, that team just took the Spurs to seven. They're the only team that took the Spurs to seven.
Yeah.
Maybe they're quite good, and that's another reason why we could bring in Parsons and players like that. So if we did something that actually at least looks good for the future, Wes looks all right this season, DJ looks comfortable in a new team, and Chandler Parsons is good with a better role, I think free agency next year, I mean, there's talk about going for KD, we're not going to get him. He's either going to be Washington, back to OKC, or at least someone else. But maybe Mike Conley, maybe if we can get him from the Grizz. I know Grizz are quite loyal.
No, he's staying at the Grizz for a long, long time.
It's frustrating because the free agency next year isn't that good. 2017 is a good one.
I can't remember who's actually free agents. I know it's only really Durant is for big name and Kobe.
Kobe next year. Oh, he's gone next year. He's announced retirement, isn't he?
He said if he feels...
Horford.
Kobe said if he feels like he can still play, he'll play on, but...
Yeah. I think Kobe just... He's the sort of player that never would want to retire, unless he gets really fed up with this current team chucking shots. I'd be surprised if he retires. I think it's more likely of him moving to a new team than him retiring next year.
He does that in every 2K. Yeah. Every my career on 2K, he just joins another team.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do that for the rest of his career.
He does always say about Kobe for life. That is the Lakers for life in his books. Right, now talking about 2017 free agents, I wanted to talk about this quickly. The Blake Griffin conspiracy that's been going about the internet. Now, him and Chandler Parsons, obviously world-class recruiter, greatest man in the world at the moment in Mavs fans' life. They've known each other since they were 12 years old, him and Blake Griffin. DeAndre and Blake knew each other before the NBA as well. They still get on well. Now, Dirk retires in 2 years. Blake Griffin's a free agent in 2 years. What do you think the chance is? If the Clippers don't win the championship in the next 2 years, obviously Paul will be an extra 2 years older, Blake will be at that age where he might be starting to think, I really want to win. Do you think there's a chance that he could go to the Mavs if this team actually,
team exceeds expectations and the Clippers sort of deteriorate, because obviously Chris Paul ain't getting younger, so he's going to, if Clippers drop and Mavs rise, I think Blake might be tempted to look elsewhere.
Do you think Mavs would have a shot?
Yeah, with their team they've got, obviously, like you're saying, Chandler Parsons, known him since he was 12, so they're good mates.
And he's that god recruiter, isn't he?
Yeah, him and DJ known each other for years. It could happen, but I think that all depends on how the Clippers do over the next couple of seasons. Yeah. If they can bring in maybe even another quality player, even if there's like a defensive player, obviously not Kawhi Leonard, but a similar sort of player.
Tony Allen.
That could push us to the next level. That could keep up. That would probably keep them there.
Also, Shout out to Mark Cuban. $25,000 fine coming at you.
Bang.
Pennies. A pan.
Now, to be honest, like I'm not a Clipper hater. They've had a hard time for long years, and this is a really entertaining team. They get into a bit of spats here and there with a few teams, but I would actually like them to get into the finals and do well. So, I don't get me wrong, I'd love Blake Griffin, but yeah, I'd be happy with them being good equally. How do you think Clippers will be with life after DJ though?
Yeah, I think we'd be good. As long as we get a decent defensive centre, they could pretty much...
JaVale McGee coming at you.
No.
Jeremy Lin revenge.
No.
Stolen my trademark.
But yeah, if we can get someone that's just similar to DJ, rebounds, a few blocks, a couple of points, I think it'll be okay.
I know Jermaine O'Neal and Dallenberg are free agents.
No, more things.
But I mean, you haven't got the cap, have you? Oh, you do have a bit of cap because DJ's left, isn't he?
Yeah. And if we can get rid of Crawford, that'd be nice as well. Which might be able to bring in a good player if we actually trade Crawford, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'd be okay as long as we do get that. Even if it's someone just big and can just protect the paint.
Would you be tempted to play Blake at five?
I don't know. If he comes against one of the bigger and better centres, then I think he would be a bit dominated. But he still can defend quite well, but who are you going to play power for?
I was going to say, Paul Pierce.
He played power forward most of last season for Washington.
I would have said it's a team like last year's Phoenix Suns would have been a good team to play small ball against, like with Blake, but now they've got Tyson Chandler, that's going to be a bit more difficult. I think small ball will work at spells, are you saying? But
yeah. Well, it would work in spells if you've got the bigger person, like it did work for Golden State with Draymond Green. He's not the smallest, but he can defend the bigger guys, so that's still what he can do. Would Blake be able to do that would be the question.
I still think Clippers will get fourth in the West.
Yeah, I think they're still going to play well, especially with Paul Pierce now, a bit of veteran.
Lance Stevenson off the bench.
Yeah.
And Portland are going to not be in the playoffs next year, we think. So that's at least going to open a spot for Davis and the Mavs and
Sacramento.
The Kings, obviously. We don't even need to mention them.
82-0.
Right, next point. Actually, we'll break this up. We'll go into our player stat game next year. And then we'll finish up with a couple of talking points. Right, Sam's going to give some clues to a player. We need to guess who it is. Then I'll give a clue for a player. And Sam and Joe need to guess who it is. And Joe needs to give a player some clues.
Give some clues.
Give some clues to a player.
So we give one clue, give some chance. Next clue, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right, we'll do it in stages. Okay, so this is a brand new game, exciting debut. Sam, off you go, bang.
First fact, 4 times defensive player of the year.
Okay, 4 times. Hang on, it's only been done twice. Dikembe Mutombo.
No.
Okay. Can I guess?
You can guess.
This might be stupid because I know he's... Is it the one?
No, it's not.
I didn't know how many times he got to
twice.
Okay.
Second little factoroni. He leads his franchise in blocks with 2001.
2001. Okay. Shaq, number one defensive player of the year. Never got... Okay. Led the league in blocks.
No, he's got the franchise record.
Franchise in blocking, okay, in 2001. It must be...
No, his record for blocks is 2001 for the franchise.
Oh, okay, I got you, sorry.
Impressive number.
He blocks a lot. Defensive player of the year 4 times.
Oh, I was looking at it a couple of days ago. Oh.
Now, okay, next clue.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
Jersey number 3, and he's been around the league.
Is it, because it's blocks, I think it's a different call. It's a Dwayne Wade.
It's not.
All right.
Is it Alonzo Mourning?
It's not.
Who is it?
Because I know he gets loads of... He's got loads of blocks and loads of rebounds, Dwayne Wade, didn't he? So, for like a guard. Maybe, oh yeah, he's like record for blocks with 6-4 and under or something stupid like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, go on, you've had our clues. Do you want to give us a really gimme clue or...
I've had to find a way to mention him every episode. He's undrafted.
Ben Wallace,
come on. No.
Literally.
He won it 4 times. Oh, it was 4 times in a row, wasn't it?
No, 4 times in total. He only shared the record with Dikembe Mutombo.
Okay.
It's so mad.
And it was him, met a world peace, him.
Yeah. Alright. Okay, right, I'll get my clues up. Right.
I had to find a way to get that in there. I was bugging me.
I'll try. Okay. Wham ya.
First clue. All right. He's played for 7 teams, and he's been an all-star 7 times.
Is it Robert Horry?
No.
No, I'll take another clue.
he's a 2-time NBA first team. And 2-time scoring champ. Any clues?
Two-time
scoring leader as well.
Yeah.
Is it David Robinson?
No. Okay. Last couple of clues. Okay.
Yeah.
Most improved player in 2001. And his career stats are 19.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 4.4 assists. So 19, 5.5, and 4.5. Most improved player 2001.
Was it Allen Iverson?
No, he got MVP in 2001. No. He averaged a lot more in his career per game, I think. Any clues?
You got another one?
He's got the same middle name as Vincent Lamar Carter.
Lamar.
Tracy McGrady.
Yeah. There you go. Tracy Lamar McGrady as well, apparently.
What's his famous song? Lamar.
He was a singer.
Yeah, what did he sing?
He sings, Vince Carter's got the same middle name.
No,
he
don't sing.
No. No, it's Justice.
Justice.
Justice. Right.
Okay. First clue, fifth all-time rebounds leader.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah, you've got to give me another one. I can't get that from straight off my head.
He was 1983 Finals MVP.
Okay, I've got a guess. Moses Malone?
Fuck, that was my guess. That was mine.
That was going to be my player early on, my shadow, my mystery player. Yes. What was your next clue?
Other clues. Played in the ABA and is eighth in scoring, which I thought you would have got because Dirk passed
him, yeah, so. Yeah, no, I would have got that immediately.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. Okay, that's quite a quick game. That's an easy.
Yeah.
Right, Summer League. Let's wrap up with Summer League. Okafor had his debut, didn't he? He got 20 points, got a load of end ones. He got about four end ones in that game. But they fell to the Spurs.
He shot less than 50%. Not a great sign. And I see he was getting quite bullied in some of the highlights, but he still made a shot.
Scrub.
He's going to be he's going to be the next Darko.
No. He showed good touches around the paint. Like, he showed that he could take, when he was posting up, he showed that he could take a bit of bullying, but he still had that finish. Sort of post fade as well, which is quite impressive. You didn't really see much of that in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he obviously ain't played in a while, so.
No, and he's
in a proper game anyway. So.
Mm.
Okay. Alright, lastly, I've been wanting to talk about him for a while. I hate talking about him, but.
You always talk about him.
This is probably a negative thing about him, so I can talk about him. LeBron James. Coach LeBron James, to be precise. Is his domination of Coach Blatt and his overriding and everything he's doing, shooting him down, is that ever going to... That's not going to help the Cavs win a championship, surely.
His first, and he immediately races over to argue the call. And then he pushes his coach, David Blatt, out of the way.
I don't think it's as bad as it's made out to be.
I think it's exaggerated.
Yeah, I do believe he does sometimes call, but I think that's more Coach Blatt taking from LeBron's experience in the finals four times previously.
Yeah, whereas Coach Blatt, obviously, he's never coached in the NBA.
He shouldn't be, well, if he wasn't good enough, he shouldn't be in the league, Coach Blatt, and he's got the credentials,
but obviously he's not experienced the pace of the NBA.
But then, if so LeBron's making calls in the huddles, and then during training, the coach is going to tell him all these things, the other players, all these things to do. Yeah. Are they going to really, they might think, okay, I'll take that on board, but then they're not going to really regard him as the main man. They're going to always think of LeBron as that man. And I don't think that's going to help develop Kyrie Irving. I don't think he's going to necessarily develop Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, but in the same way you're saying that, is you always said to me, Rick Carlisle plays, just go out and play basketball.
Flow offense.
Yeah. So, is that going to help your youngsters if Dirk's getting the ball, posting up, doing a fade away?
There's a difference. We didn't have no youngsters in that 2011 team. We had veterans that knew how to play and he trusted them.
Yeah, but Kyrie Irving's been the Cavs franchise player for like, what?
Franchise player because they sucked.
Kyrie Irving's probably great,
but he's been forced to be a franchise player at a young age. He didn't earn to be a franchise player, he was forced upon.
Yeah, but so was LeBron James.
Yeah, no, and he had to go to his colleges in Miami to learn that. Don't get me wrong, like, if they had a load of veterans out, like if they had Sean Murray and LeBron James all them playing, then you could do that and trust them to make plays. But I think with the younger players, I think LeBron now and again, I don't know, I don't think it's that much of a big deal, but I just feel like it's a bit that...
I think it irks you because it's LeBron, but...
It doesn't, because I think, like, if there was any leader... They should have a say. I think Duncan should have a say in everything like that in the huddles.
But that's the thing. Every team has that sort of flow offense.
But LeBron interrupts Blatt. He literally goes, "No, we're doing this." I think at the end of the day, Blatt should go, "No, I'm the coach," like, and shut him down. And that's what Pat Riley did at the Heat. LeBron originally tried to do that with Spoelstra in 2011 when he took over. 2010 it was at the time, and they were saying and there was talks about LeBron wanting Spoelstra out. And until Pat Riley said, "No, Spoelstra's a coach. You have to listen to him. That's how it's done here." And then he bought in and then he trusted them. And then, oh, what? Next year they won a championship.
It wasn't because of Spoelstra.
It wasn't because of Spoelstra, but I think the fact that LeBron didn't feel like he needed to do everything he wants. I know he's the best player in the world. He's fantastic. But But I still think he needs to be treated as a player and not being given everything.
But on that comment with them winning the championship, it wasn't because he finally let Spoelstra coach.
I think it helped.
It probably helped, but at the same time, it helps that you had a year to develop your chemistry with your team. With point guards, they're given the flow offence, so you see them call plays, which the coach hasn't drawn, really, because the coach mainly draws a play throughout overtime, throughout big moment games.
And that's what they do in the game. If LeBron's got the ball, he might set a play, and that's fine. You don't have a problem. I'm saying that in the huddles, when Blatt says something, and LeBron literally goes, no, we're not doing that, we're doing something else. I don't like that. That's the only thing I don't like.
You're saying that as if that's a guarantee what happens.
It's happened quite a few times. That's why people talk about it. If it happened once, I wouldn't talk about it.
No, it's probably not like, no, we're doing this. It's like, oh, no, I think we should do this.
I think in the moment we should do that.
That's probably a better...
I don't know.
But that's not on the top. You can't give a coach... A coach can only do so much drawing up a play because a screen could go wrong, something else could go wrong, the player does be able to track you, and then you've got to feed
the But that's in the game. That's fine.
No, that's in a play that the coach has drawn up.
Yeah, no, and if someone's marking, then it is the ball handler's decision, but as they're talking.
But he's probably giving advice. You can't just say... I know, but there's different ways as well.
I think it's overanalyzed. It sounds like his first take, like when I'm saying about body language and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't seem like they're unified at all. And like, if the Cavs really want to take over, they need to be unified, because Golden State, they all bought in, and that's what you need to do. You need to buy in. Buy in and be ready.
Golden State had a team full of good players.
And I think
LeBron and the Cavs had a team full of good players.
What? Shumpert and J.R. Smith missing shots for nights.
That's because of the system. They had Sean Marion on the bench, an ex for champion who could really defend someone if they needed to. They had loads of players that they could have used, and they chose not to.
Who chose not to?
Well, it could have been Black.
LeBron's not going to go, oh, don't put Marion on because he's old. But
LeBron did decide to make a substitution at one point. He said, no, keep this player. I can't remember the exact situation, but he said, no, I want this team out. I can't remember what it was, but it was the point. And I did think, if Black needs to make a substitution, he has to do it. Because they got gassed at the end. And I think they had a good team, and everyone was saying they were stacked at the start of the season, so I don't see why, when they got to the finals, then you can go, oh no, they weren't that stacked.
They weren't stacked because of injuries.
Varejao.
Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, alright, Love and Kyrie Irving. I'll give you that.
You say you're stacked, but there's only so much a second string point guard and a second string power forward can do in a game. Your power forward, Tristan Thompson, as good as he is at rebound, he's not going to give you another 20 points.
Third or something in shirt sales last year. Dela Vadova, mate, he's a good second string point guard.
He's awful.
Okay. So with
as I say, I don't think it's the biggest point. That's why we didn't talk about it straight away. But I still think they need to have a sit down, have a chat, a bit like Hakeem and his coach, I can't remember who was it at the time, on a plane, sit down, talk, and understand what's the best for the team.
Because
at the moment, LeBron, I think he's taken over a bit too much.
I think it's just sort of reaching as well for a headline, really. I think it's overanalyzed. I don't think LeBron is sort of taking control of the team. I think, as Joe was saying, he's just advising him.
I'm not sure myself. I think he's been a bit too aggressive.
He's not been aggressive after going in the playoffs the past four seasons. And he's already had that experience. Maybe the first year he might have been like, oh, we should do this. And then Spoelstra eventually sorted him out. But the other seasons, it's worked. He's not going to go to the Cavs and go, oh, new coach, pushover time, I'm going to be the king.
But if you're giving advice in the huddle, you might go, oh, no, I'll do this, blah, 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 blah. But he's basically sort of like not even giving him eye contact, not even talking to him, anything like that. It doesn't matter. Anyway, that was last year. We're going on to next year. Next year, their salary cap, they've got, I think after, if they get Joe Johnson, there'll be $116 million in wages. Now, seeing as the salary cap is $69 million, do you think teams should be allowed to sign players to go that far over the cap, even if they're their own? We like the Brooklyn Nets, they're way over as well. I don't mind signing your own players with bird rights to go over a little bit, but surely there should be a point the NBA should go, you have to choose which players you want to keep. You can't hit a certain bracket because 116 million, you need to eventually say you can't afford to keep him. You've got to let him go. What do you think?
I can agree and disagree with that, really.
All I know is my gut says maybe.
You're signing the best players to your team, and you're going to, it's not exactly like football, but obviously it's going to be oh, right, we've got the best team here because we've just bought so much talent. Yeah. So I can see that, but as well, they're being taxed for it. It's not as if they're being not unpunished per se, but it's not as if they're not paying for this.
Yeah, they're paying the money, but like at the end of the day, the money doesn't really matter. If they win all these championships, they don't really care. But I think 116 million compared to City, they've got £116 million worth of talent compared to everyone else in the league who's got like 69 or maybe slightly over the cap. Like,
yeah, I don't like that. I think it's a bit annoying, but then it just shows that it ain't everything when Golden State win it. I know, obviously, with injuries. But yeah, I just don't like it. I don't mind it to a certain extent with like players might have good seasons, they deserve the money. Or maybe if it's just one player.
Yeah, one or two, but they've literally signed everyone's massive deals.
I know, I think that's a bit ridiculous. But the thing is, they're not even good players, so that's all right.
Yeah, like, I think certain players, I like Tristan Thompson deserves his pay-wise, players like that, but then, like, some other things, you look at it and you think, that's a bit naughty. So I think, do you think a rule might come in and say, look, if like another team does this, for example, so there's two teams with way bigger caps than everyone else, do you think a rule will come in, or do you think, oh, the cap's going up in a couple of years, it won't matter?
Well, especially with the push of sponsored jerseys, I think it's not going to matter. I don't think anything's going to be introduced to sort of enforce anything to go over that. I think the priority for the NBA is getting the sponsors.
I don't want sponsored jerseys.
No, look sacky.
They look pretty. They look pretty like that. Football jerseys, I'm just so used to, I'm not that bothered. But like, seeing as the logos of the teams are so big in the jerseys anyway, you don't want a massive like Samsung or, you know, Vodafone or whatever all over it as well. Unless it's on the back at the bottom.
Or like a tramp stamp.
Yeah, like a tramp stamp sponsor. This is appropriate because it's like NBA selling actively. Okay, I think we're done. Yeah.
Yes, I'd agree on that.
Okay.
Yep, I'd agree.
Okay. Well, join us next time for In The Post podcast. I don't know what the hell we'll be talking about, but I'm sure it's going to be something to do with the NBA.
And Sacramento.
Sacramento. Stop abusing me.
Sacramento first seed.
JaVale McGee to the Clippers.
I can't wait for him to have his breakout season.
Averaging 2-2-2.
McGee's sanity.
Okay, we're on Twitter, In The Post Pod, at In The Post Pod. Gmail, inthepostpodcast@gmail.com. And our iTunes, just search In The Post Podcast and it should come up. If you type in The Post, I don't think it actually pops up at the moment. So type in The Post Podcast, and if you want to listen to it. Thanks, guys.